My name is Danny Conrad, and this story was told to me by my grandfather. Well, once a month, his parents would give him 10 cents for the trolley, and he would have to go up to 17th Street and 4th Avenue to pay the gas bill. He lived down on the East Lower East Side. And since he wanted to save the 10 cents, he would hop a truck, and as the trucks were going along, he would run out and jump on, and he would ride until he got where he was going, and then he would jump off again. And after he paid the gas bill, he would take the dime and he'd go into a movie house. And since the movies only cost a dime, then he could stay for a full performance, which was about 10 minutes. And then when it was over, he would have to hop another truck. But sometimes, you know, these trucks weren't motorized. They called them trucks, although they were horse-drawn. And sometimes they'd be going pretty fast, and you'd jump on, and the drivers would tell you to get off, and then you'd have to jump off. And but he said that, you know, it took a lot of agility, but he was lucky, and he usually didn't fall off.
My name is Lamont Simmons, and I got this story from my cousin. When he was in high school, he went to a military school, and on Easter, the parents would come. And they woke up in the morning about 7:55, and they had to straighten up the campus by 8:30. And then after they straightened the campus, then they got to eat. And after they ate, the parents would start arriving. And when you're a cadet at the school, you would have to greet your parent and then show them around the campus. And then after you show them around the campus, there is a parade that you're in, and you march, and after you march, you bring your parents to dinner, and that's the day.
Well, I'm Jeffrey Bowman, and I got this story from my mother. In the winter when it snowed in Connecticut, it really snowed. One day, my mother went to my aunt's house in Hartford, Connecticut. And one day it snowed, and she and her brothers and sisters went outside to shovel snow. So when my mother finished shoveling the snow was over her head, still over her head. It was real tall. And after she finished shoveling the snow, she and her brothers and sisters went on a sled, hooked a couple up together, and went sleigh riding down this hill. And this was the steepest hill in the neighborhood, so a lot of kids from all around the neighborhood came and hooked sleds up and went sleigh riding. But the hardest thing was to come back up the hill. And another day, she was shoveling snow, and there was no place to shovel it. So she just threw it in one pile. And finally, after she finished, she made a tunnel. And she went sleigh riding through that. And I have another story about Decoration Day. When my mother was in high school, there was a spot where she and her friends met each Decoration Day. Scouts, her friends from Scouts, church, and other schools, and even friends that moved to other schools came to that spot to watch the parade and talk about things that happened the year before. Her brothers and some of the Scouts who marched, she knew, and she cheered for them, gave them a bigger cheer. Then she followed her friends to the end of the parade, which was usually at Prospect Park. And then she would have lunch and talk for the rest of the day.
My name is Howard Massey, and I got these stories from my mother. The first one is about what my mother and friends used to do. She and her friends, once they took a long piano rope and They tied it between on both chimneys, and it made a U-shape in between the houses, and they used to swing on it. And then once, when my mother and my father and her brother went to Brighton Beach, she had gone swimming, and then when she came out and her bathing suit was all dry, her father said not to go in. But as soon as her father left to get something to eat, she went back in anyway. And so she had to go home with a wet bathing suit. And whenever she sat on the subway, she used to leave a water ring around the seat.
Well, my name is Vicky Bronstein, and I got two superstitions from my mother. Well, she said that if her parents were talking about a funeral, somebody's death, and one of the kids sneezed, her mother would run over to them and pull their ears up real hard to make sure they go to heaven. And another one is if a person was telling a fantastic story, you know, something crazy, and someone sneezed, they would say, "See, he sneezed on the truth."
My name is Jennifer Collins, and I just remember these from past experiences. I used to go out about twice in my lifetime to visit my grandmother in Wisconsin, and I remember going out there and visiting my uncle, my mother's younger brother, and I remember looking all over this vast territory, and it was all flat, and this is, and I remember seeing these very modern-looking houses that we're getting right now, just being put up, and this is in about the 1950s, and it was very interesting to see these very old houses, and then all of a sudden you see the structure of a very modern house, and it just didn't look right. And then my mother told me that when she was about 16 and was just learning to drive, her mother and her family, which consisted of three other children besides herself, went to California from Wisconsin, and she had to drive the car all the way, and this is her first cross-country trip. And her grandmother, my great-grandmother, used to sit in the back seat, and sometimes her grandfather used to drive, and whenever her grandfather drove, her great-grandmother used to sit in the back seat and say, "Henry, stop! I want to take a picture of something." And she'd do this about every 15 minutes, and so that for a day when you'd normally drive about 50 miles, you'd only get about 30 if the grandfather was driving, because the grandmother would always say, "Henry, I want to stop and take a picture."
My name is Rory Purtell, and I got this story from my father. This is about the background of the Purtells and how they came to Ireland. Well, the Purtells were Norsemen, or Vikings, and they were fighters. And they went to France when it was very unorganized. The government was very unorganized, and they invaded it, and they took it over. And they built castles there, and they lived there for years until France became organized. And then they kicked the Norsemen out, and they went to England, and they became domestic, and they lived there for years.
Hi, Joe, my friend. I got a shock from this before. Okay, now.
When the government became organized, they kicked the Norsemen out, and they moved to Ireland, which was the only other alternative, because it was the closest. So they moved to Ireland.
Testing.
Shit.
Good.
My name is Joseph Soto, and I collected this story from my grandmother. Oh, shit. Well, it's about how my father changed his name. Because my father's name wasn't supposed to be Soto. Well, when my father's father got married, my father, when he grew up, he moved. So then his mother got married again. His mother was Puerto Rican, and my grandfather was French. So then my Puerto Rican grandmother got married to another man. And my father, and this man's name was Soto. So my grandmother changed her name, and so did my father. Thank you.
My name is Gilbert Swire, and this story was given to me by my uncle. Well, long, long ago, farther than anyone would rather learn about or tell about, my uncle and his son, Sidney, and his wife lived in a far, far land called Brooklyn, New York. Now, this son, Sidney, had one problem, one fear of grass. No matter how hard you tried, you couldn't trick him to get on grass. He would never even touch it. He wouldn't look at it. Well, soon his father thought, well, this has just got to stop. So he went for a walk in the park. He was carrying him on his shoulder, and they were talking and laughing. And then when he got to the middle, he put poor Sidney down. And by the time Sidney's knees touched that ground, big tears were rolling down his face. And he never forgot that day. And now he's just come back from Vietnam, where he's been spending days in trenches.
Okay, my name is Laura Roberts, and I got this story from my mother. Well, my great-grandmother was living in about the 1890s, and that was when men wore their hair pasted down on their head, and they wore handlebar mustaches. And my great-aunt was being courted by one of these people who wore handlebar mustache, and my great-grandmother, she hated him, and she didn't want to go near him or anything. And so once when they were sitting out in the front, you know, they both sat out there in the front, and he would give her, the man would give her a girl a box of candy, and it would be real yucky. And so my great-grandmother snuck up behind the man one time with a pair of scissors and cut off half of his mustache. That's the end, that's the story. And I have another one. When she got older, she was married, they lived in a very big house. And they had a few robberies, and because they were pretty rich. So they bought two St. Bernard dogs and to frighten away the robbers. But they wouldn't really hurt a flea because they were just old, lazy old dogs, and they just sat around doing nothing. And so one time she was alone in the house, and a tramp walked in. And one of the St. Bernards walked by. He didn't, and the tramp just ran away. That's the end of that story. And I have another one. I have another one I got from my father. My great-grandfather lived in Russia. He owned a stable where they changed the horses, the male horses. And my grandfather learned to ride a horse very well. And when he was married, they went out in the country. And my grandfather rode a horse right up onto the porch, and my grandmother got very angry and everything. And my grandmother was very superstitious, and every Friday the 13th, she used to stay in bed all day. And whenever a cat, black cat, passed her, she would always be very frightened.
Why did she stay in bed all day on the 13th?
I think you might have to say
no. No, she was afraid.
Hey, no, turn out the set.
Yeah. Okay, Andy.
Okay, my name is Felicity Newbro, and I have some stories from my grandfather and some stories from my grandma. On my mother's side, I'm a Russian Jew, and on my father's side, they came over on the Mayflower. And right now my father's a Buddhist, and I don't know what he was in the beginning because he changes a lot. Okay, my grandfather told me about his life in Russia and stuff. I think he liked it pretty much. He had a grandfather named Zaidi Yechiel. Zaidi means grandfather, and Yechiel was his first name, I guess, or something. And he called him Zaidi Yechiel. And he always tells me...
Turn it off.
Oh, Okay, my grandfather always tells me about Zaidi Yechiel and how much he wants to be the same kind of grandfather to me that Zaidi Yechiel was to him. And Zaidi Yechiel had a beautiful big farm, and he had a big red horse. And my grandfather loved this horse a whole lot, and it was gorgeous. And he always wanted to ride, and his grandfather always told him not to ride it. So one day when his grandfather was away, he got on it, and he started riding it, and it bucked him off, and it went riding away, and they lost the horse, and he was in a lot of trouble and stuff. And my grandfather's mother and his sisters were considered great beauties in their neighborhood, but my grandfather was like the ugly duckling. And also, they could all tell future with cards, and they had love potions and stuff like that. And
did they tell any stories about that? What happened with predicting the future of the cards?
We can't hear you, Miss Williams.
Well, he did, but I can't remember.
Talk this way, please.
He told me a lot of stories about people that young men that came from miles and miles away to ask him. Ask his mother about how he can get back his girlfriend or something, and people would always. And she would. She could read the future of people, and she read. Every time she read a future on cards, the thing always happened. And I didn't tell the tape recorder though. Not the tape recorder. And things were pretty great when he was younger, and then when he started getting older, people started getting prejudiced against him because he was Jewish. And his whole family was having a lot of trouble. And there was a stabbing, and his cousin was accused of it because his cousin was Jewish and he didn't really do it. And he told me that there's, cream of wheat and oatmeal and all kinds of great stuff. My grandfather makes it every morning. He tries to at least. And they used to make this big pot of it at night, and in the morning it would be finished. And it's called kasha. And they would have like these gigantic things full, and they would eat, that's all they would eat. And then they started getting even poorer, and all they would have was bread. And in the winter, it was very, very cold, and the snow would cover up their whole house, and they couldn't go out for months and months. And like they would get less and less food, and they would start eating their kasha, less and less every day. And then like towards the end, they would only have like a little piece of bread every day, each of them. And he was involved in the revolution. He hasn't told me very much about that. And then finally, there was so much prejudice that he escaped to America. And he lived in New York, and he was called a greenhorn, and people teased him and stuff, and he couldn't talk English at all in the beginning. And one time, he was on a subway. And someone was saying, kept on asking him, do you know where a special stop is? And he would say, no. Wait, I know something. And the man thought he was trying to say, I know where it is. Just, like sit down and wait and I'll tell you when to get off. But he meant, I don't know, or something like that. And this man stayed on the subway for hours and hours. And my grandfather was very embarrassed, and he'll never forget that. And my grandmother didn't have such great a life. They were much richer than my grandparents. My grandfather's family was, and they lived in a beautiful house. And she went to school, which very few children in Russia went to. And she's very proud of how good she was in school, and that she always got great grades and everything. And if you're late to school, they send you to the movies. And if you were late three times, you would get expelled. And she had a gigantic backyard that they grew like half the town's vegetables in. She and her brother and her mother. And her and her brother and her mother are the only people that lived to get to America. And she had like three other sisters, I think, and they all died when they were very young. And Then when the revolution started, or some war, soldiers started sleeping all over her house, and some of them were crazy. Some of them were crazy from the shock of being in the war and everything. And and it was very scary, and she'll never forget it. And they were ruining their house, and every time they came, and they couldn't refuse them to come in, because then they would just break down the door, and they always needed the door. So everything was ruined in their house, and their house used to be beautiful. So they moved to Winnipeg, and now half of my grandmother's family lives in Russia. Okay, that's the end.
No, would you please shut up?
Okay, I have another story about what happened in America, though. My grandparents have like a very identical background, and they were both teachers teaching in the same school. They taught Yiddish to Jewish children that didn't know Yiddish, like because they were brought up in America. But they had never met each other or anything, and they always passed each other in the subway, and not in the subway, in the hallway of the school and stuff, but they never met each other. And one time, my grandmother was in a restaurant, and my grandfather walked in, and my grandfather tells me the story one way, and then my grandmother tells me another way, so I want to tell you both ways, because it's very funny. Well, this is my grandfather's story. He walked in, and there was this beautiful woman sitting there, and she had these beautiful lily-white hands, and they were very soft and everything. And he walked up to her, and he commented upon them. And she was very flattered, and she took it to her head. That's why he says it. She took it to her head. So she started following him around and looking at him the whole time. And she was with two other handsome men. And he went over and he started flirting with the other women and stuff. But my grandmother had the idea in her head that he liked her, so she was following him around. And then like he wasn't really interested in her or anything. And then she was gonna leave, so he said, "Where are you going?" So she said, "I'm going to the movies. These two men are going to take me." And he said, "Oh, why didn't you tell me? I would have taken you." And he was only joking. He wasn't serious. And then my grandmother thought he was serious, so she made him take her. So he had to marry her after that.
Wow. He had to?
That's what he says. Now my grandmother tells the story this way. She was sitting there, and this man walked in. He was pretty handsome, but she wasn't really that interested in him. And he walked in, and he started flirting with her and saying how beautiful she was and stuff. So she said thank you and stuff, and then not too many things happened. And then she had to leave to go with these two beautiful men that were going to take her to the movies. Beautiful. And
beautiful men.
Yes, beautiful men. And he said he insisted on taking her, and then he made her marry him. So they lived.
Anyway, it was quite a romance.
They got married 48 hours after they met each other. Great grandmother. Okay, now I'm going to tell you how my great grandmother died. It was in Winnipeg, and like she was beginning to like lose her memory and stuff, and all she could do then was knit, because she was a fantastic knitter. And she would sit there and knit and knit and knit. And my grandmother, she would never teach, this is something else, but she would never teach my grandmother how to knit, because she never had the patience to, because it took my grandmother time to knit. And but like she could make a sweater in a half an hour. And all she remembered to do was knit, and people had to do everything for her and stuff. And then, One day my great grandmother was very sick, and she was in bed, and my grandmother was sitting there watching her, and all of a sudden half of her turned purple, and like she went, like she made this disgusting noise, and half of her turned purple. Oh. And then like a couple of seconds later it went down, and that half of her wasn't purple anymore. And then all of a sudden she made that disgusting noise again, and the other half of her turned purple. And then, no, then that went away. And then all of a sudden she made a very loud, disgusting noise, and all of her turned purple. And then she started vomiting out her insides, and then she died.
She what?
Oh, that's
nice. She vomited. And they were very religious, and he couldn't wear shoes.
and it was winter outside, so he had to stay in the house for I don't know how many days or something. But some officers or somebody from the army came riding into his house and accused him of having committed a murder. And he denied it, and they beat him up. And they said, we're going to come back for you as soon as this stupid Sabbath is over with, and we're going to take you away and kill you. And they weren't going to give him a fair, they weren't going to give him a trial or anything, because, like, you know, he was inferior because he was a Jew. And so then he decided that he'd better split and go come here. So he took his wife and came here. And when he came here, he went to Brooklyn and he opened up a little store, a little grocery store. And that was when he had my father and my two aunts.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Wait, not yet. No. This one's about my father, my grandfather, and how he came to America. He was a very young boy in Russia. I think he was 8 years old. And his mother and father decided to move to Canada, Winnipeg, Canada. And he lived there until he was 21, when he wanted to escape the draft. And he came here to New York, where he met my grandmother. And my grandmother, this is on my mother's side, was very young, and she was here looking for work. She had just come over to Russia to visit because she was supposed to marry somebody back in Russia, and she wanted to get some money for the dowry. And she came here looking for work, and then she met my grandfather, and they got married. And she sent word back that she was going to stay here. But he also had remarried the guy back in Russia, but she remarried first.
My name is Jonathan Aberman, and this story was told to me by my father, my grandfather, when he fell out of a car up on a lift in a gas station. Well, my father was about my age, so my grandfather went into this gas station, and while the car was on the lifting thing, he decided to go into the back seat and take a rest. So he's the kind of person who can fall asleep sitting up. So he was sleeping in the back seat, and then all of a sudden he decided to walk out of the car. So he opened the door while the thing was up on the lift, and he fell right out of it. He doesn't even know what happened to him. So he didn't really get hurt, but, you know, everybody was crowding around him. Everybody all over the block was crowding around him, what happened and all that. So that's it. Okay, I'm going to tell you another story of another incident that happened to my grandfather. My grandfather were going on this, it wasn't such a high-speed road, but my father was wishing, when are we ever going to have a flat tire? And boom, there was a flat. About 5 minutes later, there was a flat tire. Hi. So I had to get out and jack up the car.
Okay. Well, my grandfather, he was born in Key West, Florida, and turn of the century, and no one ever went to school. They went to school, but they only went to schools for the eighth grade. And my grandfather's grandfather had a lot of property in Key West, and it wasn't worth a lot. But now Key West is one of the big resort areas in Florida. And what happened is that property in Key West isn't ours anymore because my grandfather's grandfather was cheated out of it some way or the other. And my mother wasn't born in Key West, but she spent a lot of her time there, her childhood, and they had a shack there, and every time my mother was bad, they'd dip her head in the rain barrel that was there that caught the water. That's all. Janet Griffith.
My name is Gilbert Swire, and my story is of my aunt's son. His name was Thomas. And every day when he went to school after lunch, and the teacher would say, sit down, he said, no. And he was a real leader. He'd take his friends and say, one more time around the room, boys, and they'd march all around the room before they sat down. And the teacher had enough of that, so she called his mother, and she came to school. And the teacher said, your son is a real leader. Every time after lunch, when I say sit down, he says, oh no, boys, one more time around the room. His mother said, oh, I'll see what I can do about that. And that night, when she came home, she was ready for him, belt out and all. All right, Tommy, one more time around the room. And she chased him all around that house. And he never forgot that.
My name is Brick Lynch, and I have a story to tell about where my family originated from. My great-grandfather was a Frenchman, and he came to Nicaragua, and he started a ferry boat line. And he married my great-grandmother, who lived in Nicaragua. So, let's see what else. So, on my father's side, it's all Irish, but I don't know too much about his side. But, let's see.
Tell us how your great-grandfather came to leave Nicaragua.
Yeah. After he was a ferry boat captain for a while, he made a lot of money. And then he started a plantation. So then the government confiscated it because he did something wrong. So then him and my great-grandmother went to Honduras. And then my grandmother went up to the United States, and she met my grandfather in the garment district because she worked there. And my grandfather came from Scotland, and he was in the Scottish Army. And let's see, he was a boxer too, because he was a boxer in the Army, and he won a little medal. And he was a bantamweight, I think, champion.